last week, the members of High Point got to hear about our missions and how our missions team is doing and so forth. And part of our missions, we have an area called the Engage Network, which we're a part of. We are church plant number 3, and it's my privilege this morning to introduce to you the resident of church plant number 8, which would be Rob Pearson, and he'll introduce his wife Holly and the rest of the team.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, before we get into who I am and everything, can we do something? You might not be used to doing this, but can we stand together and let's stand and we can read the Word of God together? If you've got a copy of God's Word, whether electronic or in your hand, we're going to be in 2 Kings 5 this morning. 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his Lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman my servant, that you may cure him of leprosy." And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? And this man sends word to me to cure a man of leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking to quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Phapar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. But his servants came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? He has actually said to you, wash and be clean." So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, and according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Let's pray. God, thank you for a morning where your people can gather together and we can sit underneath your word and we can learn. God, I pray that you would help my words to be clear this morning, that your spirit would just be working in hearts and minds this morning in ways that I can't even think of, and that your people would be open to what you want to do. And those that don't know you, God, maybe this morning they would come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. So, yes, I'm a church planting resident. My name's Rob Pearson. I've got a picture of my family up here. You can see Lane is in front. He's our second oldest, biggest, but second oldest. All right? And then the smaller one here is Riggs. He's our youngest. Lane just graduated high school. He plans to go on to FBBC this fall. Riggs is entering 7th grade this fall. Holly's there in the middle. That's my lovely wife. And then Kira's right behind. She'll be entering her sophomore year of high school this next year. And then Trent, our oldest, in the back, is he got through his first year at ISU for chemical engineering, which He's way beyond me in any math that I've ever done. That was probably in his eighth grade year of high school, or eighth grade year anyway. So he's pretty good with all of that. So a little bit about me. I just saw Tyler in the back a little bit ago, and I'm like, I haven't seen Tyler since we were wearing riot gear together. I was in law enforcement for almost 20 years full time, and then God had worked in my heart over time to desire to tell people things that mattered for eternity and help people for things that mattered for eternity instead of helping them with problems. And it is good for the here and now. And so God impressed that on my life and continued and just worked in me over time. And so here I stand in a residency program. And Lord willing, if God is leading this way, then by January we will hopefully announce a location. And by fall of 26, we will launch another church and see the gospel go out. So if you could pray for me, pray for my family, and just pray that God would just make all of those things clear along the way, that would be awesome. I would appreciate that. High Point, when I think of High Point, I think of the guys that I played in Old Man Basketball League with this year. And these guys are laughing because they know that I can't play basketball. I played against them, and I think they're still feeling it today because I'm not much of a basketball player. I do what they might call hard sets, but I can't shoot. I can't really shoot shots. But that's what I think of when I think of High Point, is these guys that are very good basketball players and very gracious to me because they were not calling fouls on me a lot during that time. And they could have. They easily could have, I'm sure. All right, so diving in this morning, I usually start with a bottom line. So if you lose track along the way, you're like, okay, at least I had the bottom line in the very beginning. So here it is. You can have everything in this world, but be humbled in a moment to realize you have nothing without the healing power of Jesus Christ. And when you think of powerful people, who or what comes to mind? Who comes to mind? Are you a powerful person? This morning we'll look at 4 points from the story of Naaman, who was a powerful guy, but was just completely powerless. And hopefully we can learn from this story. So point number one this morning, as we dive in, is lots of power, no control. And we'll be in verses 1-5. And I've got a picture up here. AI is awesome. It generated both these pictures for me. But Naaman, who is Naaman? Naaman is this commander of a Syrian army. He's over a ton of people. He has all kinds of power. He has favor with the king of Syria. The king of Syria loves him. He's a great man. And it says that God even had given him victory in battle. God had given him victory in battle. And you think about that. And sometimes as Christians, you can look at somebody and say, well, here's Naaman. Naaman's this guy who was a Gentile. He wasn't one of God's people. And you look at him, you say, God is blessing a guy that's not even one of his people. He's got a lot going for him. But there's something called common grace. Maybe you've heard of this before, that God makes the sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5:45 says, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. That's common grace. That's given to everybody. But don't be confused if you're sitting here this morning and you're like, well, I've never given my life to God, and yet God is blessing me, so then therefore he must love me. I must be with him. Don't confuse that for a relationship with God. That's common grace, and God does show all of us mercy and kindness through all of these things. Naaman, though, he was a leper. He had all of this going for him, but he had a problem. He had leprosy. It's a skin disease. In the first picture I had up there, you can kind of see like the skin scaling. It affects the nerve system. It would be a horrible thing that you're just not going to get rid of at that time. So he had everything in beautiful Syria. Syria would have been like, think of your best vacation spot that you could go to, and that's where Naaman would have been. So for me, I think of Hawaii. That's like the best spot that I've been to. And I think that's where Naaman would have been, and he would have had everything going for him, but he's got a problem. He had a problem. He had a leprosy problem. And this morning, if you're sitting here, you might start to think, well, I might be like Naaman. I've got a problem too. I've got a sin problem. I've got things that are going on in my life that are just outside of my control. And the human condition that we have, the problem that we all have, is a sin condition. In Genesis, if you know the Bible, God creates Adam and Eve, everything in the garden, everything's good, great, perfect. And then what happens? Sin enters in, right? Sin enters in, they're cast out of the garden, and you come into this world now where there's diseases like leprosy, and there's all kinds of problems. And so when you and I are born into this world, we're born into sin. We have a problem, just like Naaman. He's unclean. Without Christ and his washing, you're unclean in this sin condition. I'm not sure that there's many people that are vacationing to Altoona, Iowa. Maybe Adventureland, maybe you vacation there, people vacation there. But if you think about it, like, it's a pretty nice part of Des Moines, right? Like, it's a pretty nice part of suburb. It's pretty great. There's some pretty powerful people out here in Altoona. And if you think it on a world scale, like, you're in the United States, so you're really well off, right? So you can maybe start to identify with Naaman in this story. But the sin problem that we have are a little different than leprosy, aren't they? Leprosy would be visible every day. You would feel its negative effect every day. But with sin, we try to act like it's not a problem, like it's not there, and like it doesn't exist. Or is that just me? Do you ever do that? It does exist, and you do feel the negative effects of sin in your life, especially if you're a believer, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you that pushes against that. And eventually, sin catches up with you, right? You might be sitting here this morning. You have a ton of power in Altoona, Iowa. You might be the head of your company. You might have a ton of favor with your boss. You might be loved by all kinds of people, but you still have a problem. Ton of power, but zero control. No control in your life. If you get on into verses 2 through 5, you see this little girl come onto the scene. And this little girl, it says that she had been a slave, right? She was taken as a little girl. That was common. There'd be raids, and people would be taken on these raids. And so this little girl was taken, and now she's a slave. And so she comes to Naaman's wife, and she says, hey, I know of a man, I know of a prophet in Israel that could cure Naaman. Now we'll find out later as we get into Luke that there's no way she would have ever seen this prophet heal someone of leprosy, but by faith she knew that through God's power, Naaman could be healed. Because she was looking at the source. She wouldn't have seen it done before, but she believed in the source and then pointed others to the hope of the gospel. You think about this. Think about this little girl. How many times in our life do we reel back from opportunities that God puts right in front of us to make his name great or to say, look, Jesus Christ, he can take care of you. He can take care of that problem today. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Do you think that's what this little girl was doing? I think so. And I think that's what we as believers in 1 Peter, we need to be doing. We need to be ready to go, look, I know of Jesus Christ. I know that he has healing power. He can change your life today. Right? Do you believe that? The belief and sharing of the girl caused the king to act because she was a bold witness and she was obedient and she knew exactly who God was and that he could do it through Elisha. So what's your faith in this morning? What's your boldness in? Is it in yourself? Is it in what you say and how you say it? Do I say it in this way or what? No, you're just called to step out in boldness and in faith and say, here's the hope that I have. I want to tell you the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. I was at Smoky Row and I was studying for this message and I was trying to get ready. And this is in Des Moines and this college girl, she walks up to me and she says, hey, can I pray for you? I'm like, absolutely. And so we start talking and I said, well, how can I pray for you? And she says, I'm trying to grow in my boldness in evangelism. And she says, and I'm also trying to get over this fear of man that I have in my life. And I think those are things that us as believers need to be praying for boldness to go out and share the gospel, share the hope that we have inside, and to overcome the fear of man that holds us back. Now, she didn't know when she walked up to me that I was a believer and that I would be preaching a sermon this Sunday, but she still stepped out in boldness, and it was still encouraging to me, and God still used her stepping out in my life. When you step out in boldness, you might have the opportunity to point powerful people to the one who actually does have control, the one who does hold everything together. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the one that's actually holding all things together this morning? All right, point number two is this. Problems come, where do you turn? Problems come, where do you turn? In verses 6 through 8, they're trying to get Naaman healed, right? They're trying to get this leprosy taken care of. And so they send money first. A lot of it. A lot of money. If you were to add up the 10 talents of silver alone in today's money, that would be worth about $400,000. And then you add the gold and everything else on top of it. They're trying to send a lot of money. They brought money as if God's healing was something you could pay for. With all of your power, with everything that you have control of in your life, you cannot earn the favor of God. Only Jesus can do that for you. And then the second thing they did wrong is this. So remember, the little girl says, I know a prophet who can take care of this. Who do they go to? It says right here. They brought the letter to the king of Israel. Going to another powerful person, thinking this guy, he might be able to sway Elisha. He might be able to do this. I'm going to go to another powerful person. And they applied a man-sized solution to a God-sized problem. And don't we do the same thing? Where we start to look at the problems in our life, and we start to jump to them with our own thoughts, with everything that we might come up with initially, right? So if you don't think that you do that, let me ask you some diagnostic questions for your heart this morning. When you're anxious, where do you turn? In prayer to God? In resting in Jesus? That's where you're going to find the most rest, is in Jesus Christ. In obeying his word? Or is it this? You try to escape the anxiety by going on a vacation or thinking about your next vacation. Maybe you run to a bottle. Maybe you start venting all of your problems to all of your friends and just try to get it off of your chest, but realize that it's just coming right back, right? We're given a solution in God's word for these God-sized problems. These aren't something men can take care of. This is only something God can take care of. God-sized problems require a God-sized solution. If you look down into verse 8, it says, "But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may know that there's a prophet in Israel.'" What's a prophet? It's a spokesperson for God. It's a man of God. Somebody who is following God, speaking truth. And he succeeded, if you know the word, he succeeded Elijah, right? And Elijah, God had used Elijah in a number of ways to perform miracles. And Elijah asked for what? Double spirit, right? It's like when Elijah went to die, he said, "Can I have like a double spirit?" And so he gets it, and he performs all kinds of miracles. And even after he's dead, God still uses even Elisha's bones. They put a dead guy on top of Elisha's bones, and God brings him to life. That's not directly applicable to any of us, right? But Elisha, here you see, he's a man of God, and he's eager for an opportunity to let God's work be known. Are you eager to let God's work be known? High Point Church, you guys are doing some pretty cool things over here. Are you letting that be known? Are you telling people around you what God is doing at High Point Church? In your own life, what God is doing, how he's pulled you out of sin, and how he's giving you hope for the future? Are you doing that? Are you eager to tell others? We tend to look at Elisha and these prophets and think, wow, look at how God was using those people back then. Wouldn't that be really cool? I mean, a double spirit? What would that be like to perform all of these miracles? To be able to let people know that there's a prophet in Israel? Look at that faith. Do you think you have less believers? We have, let me remind you, we have the same God working today as back in the time of Elisha. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Right? That is the same God that we are serving, that we are following today. Secondly, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. And then 2 Timothy 1:17 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." You might think of Penny Ford, the great theologian, singing, "I've got the power." That's what I thought of. "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." We can boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, right? We can love people when it's hard to love them. We can forgive people because we have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we can have self-control in our lives because of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have the power. With this kind of power, we too should be eager to let God's work be known, right? So believers, as problems come your way, and they will, if they're not already today, I don't know many of you, rely on the power of God in your life, and then be bold enough to let God's work be known. As he works in your life, as he works through your circumstances, make sure that you are eager to tell others about what Jesus has done for you. Number three is this: expecting to control how God cures you. Expecting to control how God cures you. In verses 9 through 12, You see this? Naaman came with horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. He shows up. He's already sent the money. Now the prophet says, here, you can come here. And what does Elisha do? Elisha says, sits in his house, says, hey, I'm going to send a messenger out to this guy. And messenger, you tell him, go to the Jordan River and go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you will be clean. Naaman comes to the house. He's like, wait a second. This guy, he didn't even come to the door. He didn't even come out to me. I thought he would call down God and he would fix me in front of everybody right here. And maybe it became about him and his power and who he was and his pride at that moment. And so Naaman was ticked that it wasn't going his way. He wanted to control even how he was going to be cured. And you think about this. The second thing is the rivers. So the two rivers that he's talking about here, he's like, why not go get in these rivers? Why not get in them? They're the really nice rivers from up where I'm at. This river of Jordan, it would have been a small river. It would have been a disgusting river. Recently, I took some Eden kids on a float in the Des Moines River. That's what I think of when I think of the Jordan River. It's disgusting, right? It's dirty, mucky water. When I came out of that water after a 6-hour float from Yellow Banks to Runnels Exit, my stuff was disgusting. And that's what Naaman is looking at going, I gotta do that thing? That's how I'm going to be healed? That's how I'm going to be cured? Ticked. So Naaman has his leprosy and he's looking for a cure, but wants to be cured in the way that he thinks is best. I love Skip Heitzig's saying here. He says there's an interesting parallel. People will come in for counseling, and like Naaman, they expect something in counseling. If we say, here is the word of God, you need to apply this to that situation, people go, that's it? Come on, I expected more than that. I expected psychology, some therapy, and that you would wow me with these awesome principles. You're just giving me scripture verses to apply? Skip will then say, do you want to be coddled or do you want to be cured? The guy who wants to be coddled would have gone back home in a rage with leprosy. So this morning, with your problems, with your sin problem, do you want to be coddled or do you want to be cured? Do you want to do it God's way or do you want to do it your way? God's way, cure. Your way, not cured. 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16 says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. You have to accept God's work in your life. You have to accept God's plan in your life. It can't be your way. And it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Those that have submitted to God have the mind of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20 says, for the wisdom of the world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Sometimes you can be really powerful and you can think, I've got so many things together for me in this life. Things are going exactly how I want. I'm the boss. And you start to think that you can be the boss over God and his plan. But it's only God's plan that will cure you. A person with the mind of Christ, with the Holy Spirit inside, wants to do it God's way, not their own, because it's the only way that cures. A person who wants to do it their way, think they know better than God. Which one are you this morning? Are you trying to go through things in your life your way, or do you submit to the Word of God and what God's Word says for your life? As a believer, I think we can wrestle with this, right? We can start to go, okay, God's Word says this, but I'm not ready to submit to that. I'm not ready to turn and follow. Look, just do it. Turn and follow God's plan. It's way better, and you know that. It's way better than anything you could come up with. You get into number 4, it says, even when it doesn't make sense is the point. This is the final point. Even when it doesn't make sense. Verses 13 through 14, the servant reminded Naaman of what Elisha had said. "My father, it's a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" He had to be reminded from somebody of what the prophet had said. That's just another reminder for believers to have the word of God on your lips, to be able to remind people of the word of God in their circumstances as they're wrestling through problems. But secondly, there's a promise attached to the obedience to God's word. And here, especially for Naaman, it was wash and be clean. Then Naaman humbled himself, got into the nasty river, and dipped 7 times and came out with skin like a child. He was clean because he followed God's plan. Luke 4:27 says, "And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." Think about that. All of God's people, there's leprosy going on in Israel, and God isn't sending someone to go cure people in Israel of leprosy, but he sends Elisha, and he's cured. Why does God do that? Because he's God, and God will work in people's lives in the way that he wants, and he'll work in yours if you allow him to. It doesn't make sense, but that's who God is. God will wash you this morning, make you clean this morning. Through the word, we learn that a person can be washed of their sin and be cleaned, and they can be saved. Isaiah 1:16 says, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil." Stop doing evil. Repent. Turn away from it. Wash and be clean. John 13:8, Peter's saying, "Never shall you wash my feet, Jesus." Remember when Jesus is coming to the disciples and he's going to wash the disciples' feet? And Peter's like, "You're not washing my feet, Jesus." And Peter and Jesus said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Have you been washed by Jesus? Now, if this is like a new concept, if you don't know what this is, here's the deal. We have sin. We have this sin problem. I talked about that. Same as Naaman. But Jesus came, lives a perfect life, dies a sacrificial death, is buried and is raised again, defeating sin and death. Why? So that you and I can be washed and be clean if we put our trust in him. We can be changed. We can be renewed. We can be cured better than Naaman. No sin leprosy in our life. You're made clean. You're made whole. You're made new because of Jesus Christ. But believer in the room, can sin creep back into our lives too? Yeah. And so if you've got sin that's holding on to your life, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go to God, give it to him, do God's plan in your life instead of your own and the way you've been fighting. All right, so application. And maybe the Holy Spirit's working a completely different way in your heart and your mind this morning. And so, like, if this application doesn't fit that, use the application the Holy Spirit's put in your life. When problems hit in your life, and they will, if they aren't already, where are you turning to? God-sized problems require a God-sized cure. Do God-sized cure. Maybe you're a believer. You've fallen back into trying to come up with other solutions to your problems. Do you want to be coddled or do you want to be cured? If you want to be cured, seek the answers found in God's word and obey him. You don't need to look anywhere else. Maybe this morning you realize that you're powerful but have no control in your life. that you've been trying to deal with the problem of sin in your life, in your way. And there's only one way, and that's to be washed by Jesus. To humble yourself before God, confess your sin to Him, and believe in Jesus Christ, whose blood you need to be washed in. No other washing but the washing that Jesus does in your heart. So does the message this morning from God's Word land? Does it matter somehow in your life? The bottom line is this. You can have everything in this world, but be humbled in a moment to realize you have nothing without the healing power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the story of Naaman. Thank you for your love for us, that you come after us just like you came after Naaman. And you came to me, who had a sin problem, and you washed me through your son Jesus. God, I thank you for that. God, I pray for High Point Church, the people that are here this morning, the people that love you, the people that want to follow you. God, there's some that I'm sure that are struggling this morning with sin in their life, and they've been holding on to that. God, I just pray that they would seek the cure found only in you. And God, for the person sitting here this morning that has never sought you, has never humbled themselves before you and said, I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. My way is wrong. God, your way is right. I want to follow you. God, I pray that you would put it on their heart to repent, to be washed in your son's blood. In Jesus' name, amen.